So we have some nice quotes from the Saivite Shastras also we can refer to. Tapas played an important part in the early Saivite monasteries of the Satsiva Yuga and was freely given from time to time by the Guru himself, seemingly for no particular reason. Therefore, each monastic kept his work in the service of Siva totally up to date, so that at any point in time, within three suns, which means days, he could make transition of worldly responsibilities and enter Mahatapas. Three suns were always given as a transition period into Mahatapas, which would last an indefinite length of time. And there's a related verse. A good Saivite monastery was always in readiness for time of departure. No monastics were behind in any of their duties or responsibilities more than 3 days. If they were, it was considered worldliness, and tapas was given to correct the situation. So if you notice, this is, you can't seem to win situation, because if you're current 3 days, then you're ready to receive Mahatapas, right? But if you're not current 3 days, then you're ready to be put on tapas also. So it doesn't seem you can avoid it. So it's a very interesting principle in monastic life, being 3 days current, and it's different than family life. In other words, in family life, you settle down to a certain occupation, a certain job, certain routine, and that's what you do. And it keeps going and going, and you expect to do it next week, you expect to do it the week after, and your whole life is built around the fact that you're doing it, and you're expecting to continue doing the same thing. So a monastic life is not like that. You need to be flexible. You need to be movable. It's part of the discipline. You can't settle down. You can't identify so much with one task that you can't see yourself in another task. So, the idea is that within 3 days, be replaced and go do something else. It's part of the monastic discipline, which means, of course, at least one other person needs to know everything you do. Otherwise, you're not replaceable. So what you do needs to be well documented, and other people need to be trained in it. And then we're living in this state of being 3 days current in terms of people having knowledge of what we do. The other aspect, of course, is that we have to be organized enough and current enough that within 3 days we can actually transfer what we're doing. It can't be weeks and weeks behind in our tasks. Otherwise, within 3 days, we couldn't do it. So it has a second element as well, which is not being behind in our duties. Going on in the Saivite Shastras, yogis preparing themselves for sannyasa were always on tapas during this time. They were tried and tested by the Guru through the senior minority of each monastery. The Guru worked especially with the yogis for the growth of his order. We see the yellow Matavasis unleashing worldliness of themselves or from accumulated kamaba absorbed from others. We see them turned inward. These are the model monastics. So that's bringing up a very interesting point, is that as a monk working with other people, the karma that's there can be someone else's that you've taken on, either fully or partially. So particularly you go out on a teaching mission, traveling for long periods of time, things like that, where you're working with lots of different people, you can come back with a sense of being somewhat burdened. And why are you burdened? Not because of your karma, but because you took on fully or partially the karma of others. So consequently, tapas can be used to burn up that karma as well. commenting on tapas in a general way. The monastery itself is such a protected environment versus living elsewhere that it allows for much greater clarity in terms of one's inner life. When you're living elsewhere, there's lots of people around, lots of situations around, and going out in the world every day. So consequently, there's less clarity as to where you stop and someone else begins. It's all kind of mixed together. So the monastery helps you separate yourself from others, work with yourself, and adjust yourself in a more, with more clarity. So tapas is taking that a step further. It's like a monastery within a monastery, because you're on stricter disciplines. When it's on tapas, they don't watch television, they don't read magazines, they drop off contact with the world. When a yogi goes on tapas, they go on a 2-year retreat from family and friends, which may be the longest time they've ever been away from family and friends. Usually it is. So it creates greater distance between them and their family than they've experienced before in their life as well. Spend more time in meditation, more time in vigils, all of which is like a monastery within a monastery, in that it's a stricter discipline than the normal monastery is upholding. But it's not a permanent discipline. It's just for a period of time. So that results in even greater clarity as to what's inside you, who you are. In the first instance, the monastery is like holding up a mirror in front of you so you can see yourself very clearly. This is like holding up a microscopic mirror, something that can magnify, so everything looks bigger than it really is, but you can see things that are so small you might not see them otherwise. So tapas magnifies yourself to yourself in a new way so you can adjust yourself. So tapas is also a time for intense meditation and a good time to deepen one's psychic ties to the deities, because you kind of have greater continuity on a day-to-day basis than you have otherwise, less distractions. So it's a wonderful opportunity in that sense to deepen one's inner life